Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Bruce Townsend, and we're studying on faith, what faith is. And last week, we spoke about Adam and Eve. We spoke about Abraham. Let's pray first, and let's dive back into our study again today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings, the abundance of grace that you've given us in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you sent Jesus to die in our place. He was crucified on the cross, buried in the grave, resurrected from the dead, and now we've been raised up and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Father, we thank you for your word today, that we do not live by bread alone or natural means alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you for teaching us the principles of faith, and I pray that your anointing will be upon me today so that we can have clear understanding of how to live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week we were in Romans chapter 4. Let's go back over our foundation scriptures first. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And verse 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Last week we were talking about the faith of Abraham. That Abraham, the Bible says in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned or accounted to him as righteousness. And it says that Abraham, if Abraham was justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. Nobody can boast about their works to God. Nobody can say, "God, look how good I am. Look at my works." Any good works that we do have, it's only because Christ did those works through us, because we were born as sinners. We were born as the seed of Adam. We were born with the curse of death upon us. But through Jesus Christ, those chains of death, poverty, sickness, disease, being hell bound are broken in Christ. When he took off his grave clothes and was raised from the dead with a glorified body, the Bible says we are raised up and made to sit together with him in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And as we continue to discuss Abraham, you'll remember that God made a covenant with Abram when he was 90 years old. And his wife was old. And God said, "I'm going to change your name to Abraham," which means the father of many nations. He had no seed. He had no children. And so Abraham believed that word. And because he believed the word that God gave him, God said, "I'm accounting that to you as righteousness. I'm treating you as though you never sinned." Righteousness, maybe better understand that as right standing with God. In other words, your sin, Abraham, is no longer separating you from God. Your sin will no longer bind you to hell. That you're delivered from that. You're free from that. Here's your bill of rights. Here's your righteousness. Because God is now treating Abraham as though he never sinned, and therefore he is blessed instead of cursed. And in Christ, God treats us the same way. That he imputes righteousness to us, as we have read in Romans chapter 4 last week. Now going on in Hebrews 4, and remember, God gave him the promise of a seed. Verse 19 says, "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb." So now 10 years later, he's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. It does not look like it's possible for them to have a child. And yet they refuse to look at their body. They refuse to walk according to their senses. Their body, Abraham could think, "Well, if I ask my body, if God's word is going to come to pass in my life, my body's going to say no. I can look at my body. I can feel how my body feels. I can look at Sarah. But I'm not looking at that. I'm not going to stagger at God's promise. I'm not going to waver regarding God's promise. The evidence is not how I look or how I feel. The evidence is what God's word had declared. And God declared that I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Right now, you might have a financial problem in your life. You might have bills you need to pay, and it looks impossible to your situation. You may need a job. You may need increase of customers in your business or sales if you're a salesperson. And if you're in covenant with God and you confess that Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and God accounted that to you as righteousness, he's not going to treat you as a sinner any longer, and you're seeking to be faithful, to keep his commandments, to honor God, and to obey the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. The way you do that is by keeping his commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is love of God, that you keep his commandments. And when you're using your faith to keep God's commandments better and better, and you're walking in righteousness with him, then your faith becomes the evidence of those sales or of that job or of the money that you need or healing for your body or peace in your family or whatever it is that you have need of today. God's concerned about your needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God supplies those needs when we are obedient to his commandments, when we give of our tithes and offerings to a local church to support the proclamation of the gospel, when we are doing the things that we are supposed to do in our job or seeking for a job if you don't have one, but using your faith to be the evidence and believing that you have it. So just like Abraham, we have the opportunities to use our faith. And verse 20 says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised God, he was able also to perform. Abraham's not barely assured or barely persuaded. He's fully persuaded. He knows that God's going to come through with what God promised. He knows that he's the father of many nations, regardless of how his body looks or how he feels or how Sarah looks. And we have the same opportunity to live by faith, just like Abraham lived by faith. When we see mountains and problems in our lives, that we can take the word of God, we can find the promises that deal with that need, and we can live by faith according to it and act like Abraham and not stagger at the promise and not, you know, believe God's promise one day, but the next day you get up and looking to see, do I feel any better? Does Sarah look like she might be swelling a little bit in her stomach? Looking for some evidence. The only evidence we need is God's word. And that's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of the things that we don't see. So as that relates to us, verse 22 goes on and said, therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Remember, Abraham believed God. God treated him not as a sinner. He treated him as righteous. He treated him like he would treat Jesus. Now, not for his sake only was it written, for it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So these things weren't written just because of Abraham. God said, I'm telling you that this is for you too. That it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. It's to be accounted to you as righteousness too if you believe on Jesus Christ, whom God has raised from the dead, and he raised him up for our justification. God justifies you with the justification that belongs to Christ when you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you believe that in Jesus Christ and keep his commandments by faith. Your keeping the commandments won't make you saved or won't make you righteous, but your faith will keep the commandments, and by keeping God's commandments, now your good works is evidence of the faith that you have. We'll get into that maybe in another teaching. So God accounted Abraham as righteous because of his faith, not because of his works. Now let's look over in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." In other words, children of wrath or children of Adam. God's wrath and judgment was on us. "And in times past we were dead in our sins, dead in trespassing against God's law and his commandments." That was the way, and he's talking to Christians in the Ephesian church. He's saying that's the way you used to be. You used to walk that way. You walked according to the course of the world. You lived by what the world said was good or evil rather than by what God's commandments said. You had faith in the world and not in God at that time. And that was a spirit that was working in the sons of disobedience. That was the disobedient. But that was your former life. You indulged your lusts, the desires of your flesh. You are by nature children of wrath. Sinners sin because that's their nature. But now in verse 8, it says, "For by grace," for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, repentant of our sins, or keeping God's commandments now by faith, "for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So now that you are saved, if you are saved, you're saved by grace. If you aren't saved yet, God may be calling and dealing with you to confess Jesus Christ, to receive him by faith today, and to repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and start by faith keeping God's commandments. Start doing the works of God instead of the works of the devil. Instead of being sons of disobedience, you become sons of obedience. This is how we can tell someone's saved, that they're not bound towards hell anymore, that the kingdom of heaven is now their destiny, and the place that they live is they simply quit walking in doubt and unbelief. They're no longer, you can see that they are no longer have the nature of the children of wrath or disobedience. They're no longer children of wrath, but they're children of the blessing, Abraham's blessing, through Jesus Christ. They're no longer sons of disobedience, but they're sons of obedience. So by grace you have been saved through faith. The way that you are saved, it's the same way that Abraham became saved. It's by faith. But it's the way we receive all the blessings that God gave to Abraham. God made Abraham a father of many nations. He had many children who had many more children after him. God increased his flocks, increased his herds, increased his possessions, increased his servants. God made Abraham wealthy. And now we have the blessing of Abraham to bring increase in our lives as well when Jesus Christ becomes our Lord and we live by faith. So by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You can't save yourself, and there's no works you can do of yourself to save you. It is the gift of God. The faith is the gift of God. The salvation is a gift of God. The grace is the faith of God, is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, it says in verse 9, that no one should boast. You can't boast about your good works. If you have good works, it's because Christ in you has performed those good works. And now, we're not saved by good works, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." God recreates you, gives you a new nature. You're no longer by nature the children of wrath because God gives you a new nature. You become become a Christian, and you become a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. those old works have been removed by faith. So, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, when somebody says they're a Christian and they live a very wicked life, a sinful life, they have no concern about keeping God's commandments, they are not a Christian. The faith that they have for salvation will change their nature so they're no longer sons of disobedience. Let's look over in Romans chapter 10. Back to the book of Romans. As we continue looking at the faith that brings salvation. And salvation, eternal salvation, is just a starting place. Again, God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion in it. So we're to exercise our faith to bring increase. Now, over in Romans chapter 10, and again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, verse 6 says, "But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, or hell, or the pit, that is, bring Christ up from the dead again. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." So in other words, when you pray, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for finances, whether it's to heal your body, do something, bring peace in your family, get you a job, increase your business, whatever it is, your praying is not to change God. You're not going to change Jesus' location by your praying. You don't need to go up in the heaven to bring him down. You don't need to go into the grave and bring him back up. We don't have to crucify the Lord afresh this Sunday. His work is already done. Now we're to receive what he did by faith. So what does it say? Verse 8, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching." So what's the answer is that the word of faith now brings salvation. Jesus doesn't need to die on the cross again for you today for you to be saved. He did that once. In fact, the book of Hebrews says that it was one sacrifice, one death. That's all. But now to make that salvation a reality in your life, you've got to put the word of faith in your mouth. You have to speak the word of faith. The word of faith now brings salvation to you. Jesus already did what he needed to do to save you. And now you need to respond to that by faith. Verse 9, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Well, there's the answer to salvation. And salvation doesn't mean just that you die and go to heaven. Salvation means to save not only eternally, but temporal, in the temporary realm, in this life. To save your finances, to save your family, to save, the word salvation is used for healing of the body. But most importantly, of course, is eternal salvation. To become born again. In other words, that your nature's changed from being a child of wrath to a nature of one that's receiving the child of blessing, or the child of faith. To receive the blessing of God through Jesus Christ. So if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, in other words, confess means to speak. You declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be delivered from eternal death, from hell, and delivered also from the curse of the law, which we'll speak about later, which is poverty, sickness, disease, lack, that salvation can come. It may not come overnight, but your faith is the evidence while you're believing God. So in your heart you believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With your mouth you confess Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Lord means supreme ruler. You're confessing that Jesus is the supreme ruler, not only over your life, but everything. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof in Psalm 24. Everything in the earth belongs to God. He is the ruler, whether men acknowledge him or not, he's the ruler over everything. And when you confess Jesus is Lord, you are acknowledging that he is the ruler. He has commandments for you. You are to obey him. You're to keep his commandments. I encourage you to go back to Exodus 20. Read the Ten Commandments. Study them so that you know what the standard for your life is, so that you know how to obey God, what God expects from you, what duty he requires of you. Your goal in becoming a Christian, first of all, you repent of your sins, so God accounts you as righteousness and moves that out of the way. You start with a clean slate, but by faith, Jesus Christ is your Lord. You keep his commandments. You have no other gods before him. You don't make any idols. You don't worship idols, and idols aren't just little statues. Humanism is an idol. Every false ism, every religion other than true Christianity is an idol. Philosophies that are contrary to the Bible are idols. And then you don't take his name in vain. You don't use God's name when you're not talking to God or about God. You don't use his name as a curse or swear word. You honor his Sabbath. You keep all the commandments. And you do that by faith. You won't keep them perfectly, but your faith will create in you Jesus Christ. You become his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And as he recreates your fallen human spirit into a saved spirit. And then looking at verse 10, for with the heart man believes. The way you believe is from the heart, from the inner man, from the soul realm, resulting in righteousness. Remember that Abraham believed God and God accounted it, or it resulted in righteousness, right standing with God, as though he never sinned. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So when you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you become saved. But that principle works in other areas too. If you have a need of finances, it's by believing what the Bible says about prospering, about finances, and then obeying his commandments. And then you confess it with your mouth. You start declaring what God's word said about your finances. Then God brings salvation to your finances, just like he brought salvation to your spirit. Let's look over at the book of Galatians, chapter 3, as we continue to look at faith in Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, overshot here. Galatians chapter 3, now when we talk about God's commandments, we're not justified by keeping God's commandments. We're justified because Jesus kept God's commandments. He was perfectly righteous. He died in our place on the cross. And he died for our sins. He did not commit sin, so he didn't deserve death. Well, we didn't commit righteousness, and we didn't deserve life. So there's an exchange that was made for those who received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by faith. God imputed our sin upon Jesus, though he did not commit sin. But then he justified us with God's righteousness, though we didn't commit righteousness. And God does that by faith. So when we talk about God's keeping God's commandments, We keep God's commandments as a result of that salvation. Salvation is not a result of keeping God's commandments, because you can't perfectly keep God's commandments, and therefore life won't come because of that. Now in Galatians 3 verse 11 says, "Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So again, we're not justified by the law. Now we're not justified by good works. Our good works is created because of salvation. It doesn't result in salvation, but it shows the evidence of our faith. If we believe God, then we're going to begin to act just as well. The fruit will be there, in other words. So the just is to live by faith, and Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, Christ didn't redeem you from the law. He didn't redeem you from keeping his commandments. That would be anarchy, disobedience, and sin. God redeemed you from the curse of the law, and the curse of the law was those curses. You can read those in Deuteronomy 28. The blessings are listed in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 14, that if we obey God's commandments, and that's to obey it by faith, then blessings will come upon us, and you can read the blessings there. When you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that curses come. But here it tells us that though we deserve curses, Christ redeemed us. He bought us back from slavery to sin and redeemed us from the curse, because it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree." Jesus hung on a tree. The cross was made from a tree. And he took the curse upon himself in order to take it away from us. Now there's no curse on him now. He's been raised from the dead. He's got a glorified body. He's not in pain any longer. And so he's redeemed us from the curse, who receive him by faith, so that the blessings that God promised to Abraham came upon Jesus, and therefore come upon us who obey Jesus, who our sins are removed by faith in him. Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray for my listening audience. I pray, Lord, that those who have been selected, handpicked by you, that they'll not have hard hearts regarding your word, that they'll not be dull in hearing or blind in their eyes, but you'll open their eyes so that they can receive the treasure from your word, receive Jesus Christ by faith, to become born again, to become new creations, no longer children whose nature is wrath or sons of disobedience, but become sons of obedience through Jesus Christ, and receive this gift of righteousness, a gift that we didn't earn by our works. It was given to us by the grace of God. And I pray that you'll work in their lives, restore their homes, give them good jobs, bless them in their finances, bless them in their body, deliver them of besetting sins and habits that would try to pull them down into a death trap, so that they will have abundance of grace and life in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, this is Bruce Townsend, and declaring God's blessings upon those who receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, goodbye.